Batman.
I am the knight. I am Batman.
I am Batman.
I'm 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 Batman.
Welcome to episode 212 of Shamlin on Batman. I am your host, Justin Shamlin, and we have Kyle Davis.
That's me.
On the other end of the Batcave, just palling around, doing whatever he does in the cave.
I don't know what cave you're talking about.
Well, there's literally just a black silhouette behind Kyle. There's nothing.
I'm in the black void. Even though there's a light coming from behind me.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
It's a good song. It's a very good song.
On today's episode, we're going to be talking about new Penguin trailer. We're not going to be breaking it down because there's really not anything to break down. It was a very strange trailer. It felt more like a sizzle reel than anything.
But I guess we can just kind of jump into it. That's how I like my trailers, though. I want it to be vague. I want it to be just like a tease, and I don't want to be able to be like, oh, so this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen. No, I don't want to know anything. If it's something I'm going to watch, just let me know it exists, and then I'll go watch it.
Then we're going to talk about Alan Ritchson. That's his name, right? Alan Ritchson from Jack Reacher, or Reacher, whatever it's called on Amazon Prime.
You'd probably know better than I do.
I've never seen the show. But he wants to be Batman, and then we're going to be talking about Supergirl has a new director, which is weird because I didn't realize that they were that far ahead with it. So, I thought Supergirl would be happening much further down the line than where we're going to be at right now. So,
is there an estimated release window for that?
I have no idea. I just read that they are going to try to start shooting that movie like November or December. Sometime quarter four this year, they want to start making that movie.
That's wild, because if that's true, then I almost feel like they want to have that come out not too long after Superman.
The plan is for DC to shoot the movie in quarter four after they've completed James Gunn's Superman.
Yeah, so that would be like the second or third movie.
Which is so weird to me. Not that it's a bad thing, but yeah.
No, especially if they're already going to be establishing some of the Kryptonian stuff in the new Superman movie. Might as well incorporate Supergirl into that.
Right. But let's talk about Penguin. Like, what are your thoughts on the trailer? Or the teaser, or whatever you want to call it.
I'll call it a teaser, because that really is what it was. It was just like, hey, remember the Penguin from the latest Batman movie? Well, he's got a series coming out, and crime stuff is happening.
And crime stuff.
that's like all we really know. It's like, okay, he's like around groups of people. Looks like there's some shady stuff going on, maybe some double crossing. But we don't really know the context behind it. We don't know what's actually going on. It's just like, hey, you want to see the Penguin being Penguin? Come watch the show. I'm like, all right, cool.
Watching this, like, I want to call it a sizzle reel. Like, a teaser kind of like when I think of like a teaser trailer, I think of like the Spider-Man 2 teaser trailer, where you kind of get like, all right, this is like what this is kind of about. Like, it's kind of like establishing, like to me, it's the Spider-Man 2 teaser, the Logan trailer, you know, obviously the Dark Knight, Batman Begins, like those trailers right there. Kind of like those are like in my sweet spot of like the best trailers I've ever seen. I would say this felt like more like a sizzle reel. Like, it's like Kyle said, like, hey, the Penguin from the latest Batman film, and we're going to continue on with this story where he's kind of like becoming the mob boss of Gotham City, and we're gonna show like quick clips or like fast cutting. I thought it was okay. Obviously we know what this show is gonna be about, so that we really don't need to establish much. But to me, there, it didn't like leave enough room to breathe for me as like a trailer. It was like one thing after another, after another, after another. And I just needed it to breathe a little bit. It didn't give much away, but I wouldn't say it kind of like left me wanting to see more. I'm a huge fan of Colin Farrell as the Penguin. I think that he's a phenomenal Penguin, like probably the best one, to be honest.
That's the thing of the trailer. Like, I think it's, the way it's compiled together, I don't think it's going to like convince people to watch it that wouldn't have already watched it. You know what I mean? It's not like there's not enough there to really hook you if you're on the outside.
Right. Like I feel like when we come to TV shows that dealing with heroes or superheroes or anti-heroes or whatever you want to, however you want to categorize, like if it, like the Punisher, if you look at the first two Punisher, like season one and season two, like they had the great Metallica song in the first Punisher trailer, if I remember correctly. Then they had the Alice in Chains song in the second season, where it kind of like established, all right, hey, this is the Punisher. Here's the world that he's working in. Here are the characters. But like, it kind of like breathed a little bit more. It felt like, all right, here's a reason why you as the viewer need to watch the Punisher. Like, it's the continuation of the character that you saw in Daredevil. And it just kind of like, he's off in New York City, but he's kind of like become like this loner and everything. Like, to me, like that, for like what we're getting, because this is going to be kind of like a hard R rated TVMA type of a television show, where it's like, even Colin Farrell said, hey, this is going to be like really dark and really violent, which is fine. Like, whatever. Like, it is what it is. Like, they're trying to do like this, like mafioso Sopranos meets, you know, the Joker meets like the, you know, the Batman, right? Because like those types of shows and the, you know, those movies kind of combined in one. Not saying that the Joker, like, I'm just saying, like, if you looked at like the Joker trailer and the Joker movie, like, I felt like it's like the person that cut those trailers together cut this trailer together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of get that vibe for it. But like Kyle brought up an interesting point, like, this trailer should, and I know it's a teaser and everything, like, and I'm not even wanting them to say, hey, you know, like, where, you know, the Batman's gonna be in it, Robert Pattinson's Batman's returning and he's gonna be in the Penguin. No, I'm not saying it's a bad trailer. I'm just saying, like, how are you hooking your audience? Who is this audience for? And it just felt like it was just fast cutting after fast cut after fast cut. And I'm a huge Colin Farrell fan, but like, this didn't really, you know, what Charlton Heston says in True Lies, you know, this isn't blowing my skirt up. Like, this isn't doing anything that's really making me clamor for seeing this television show on Max as soon as it, you know, like the Obi-Wan trailer. Like, I know Kyle has his thoughts on, you know, the Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer, but
terrible series.
But when you see the trailer, it's like, holy shit, Obi-Wan Kenobi's back. You know, that, like, it's kind of like the light, you know, his blue lightsaber. He looks closer to Alec Guinness than he does Ewan McGregor. You know, like, it was kind of like, all right, here's the reason why you want to come and watch this. It's a continuation of a fan favorite. It's a continuation of the story. It's not a sequel. It's not a prequel. It's kind of, and it's not like off in its own little world. It's kind of like in this in between. And I didn't love this. I didn't hate this trailer. And like, there, like, we were talking right before we were going to come on and record, and like, hey, do we want to break this down? And we're both like, what's there to break down? Like, what is there to talk about?
So, oh, well, there's a scene of a girl and she's like yelling.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who she is, but she's yelling. Yes. But, yeah. So like, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. It's like, it's a bit of a weird trailer, because as somebody that very much enjoyed Matt Reeves' Batman and just really want to get myself back into his version of Gotham, I really want to immerse myself in his version of the city once again, I'm excited for this. But this trailer doesn't really show me anything that would get me excited had I not already seen the movie.
Right.
Like, so this is almost selling itself more as hate Do you want to see more Gotham? Come watch the show.
No, I don't want to watch the Gotham TV series.
Do you want to see an actual good Gotham TV series? Here you go.
That's all they had to do. Instead of them having a trailer like this, it says, the anti-Gotham television series comes to Max, this whatever. It did, like I said, like
Max, whatever the heck we are nowadays.
what separates the Punisher trailer with this trailer is the Punisher trailer, like, oh my god, like this looks great, like the action looks good, like there's tension, like what's gonna happen, is the Punisher gonna make it out alive, you know, like
that's the thing about like a truly great trailer is where it will kind of stand on its own. Like, yeah, it's gonna like show you some stuff from the thing it's advertising, but like for the most part, a really great trailer can just exist as a great video that you'd actually want to come back and watch.
And there's like, if you and I were to break down the trailers for the Punishers season one and season two, like just the music alone, or how they integrate the music into those trailers, just alone, how it's cut together, how it's like, you know, put together, how it's, you know, where certain scenes are, you know, it just like, it's, and like, I'm not trying to say like, I'm not going to watch this television series. I'm going to watch it. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. But like, I know it's coming out. I know it's going to be a thing. And it almost feels like they cut this trailer to go to be one of those like coming soon to Max. Like it was like a Max television trailer. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how like,
yeah,
like how Netflix will have like a really quick trailer.
Yeah, like if you're just sitting on the homepage, you'll like see like a thing start auto-playing when you're hovering over something. That's kind of what this feels like.
That's what it feels like for this. And like to me, it's like you're trying to reestablish a character that we have not seen since 2022. And it's supposed to come out, when's it supposed to come out? Like the end of this year?
This fall.
Okay, so this fall, like it just, I'm not saying it's bad, but like what? It's interesting. It didn't do what it needed to do. It's not really going and getting that general audience. You know, it's kind of like,
yes,
like if you love the Penguin, you're gonna love this.
Although, maybe I'm the minority here, but I do prefer this kind of trailer, the super vague, doesn't really tell you anything kind of trailer over the ones that are like super spoilerly. But I understand that like the super story heavy, spoiler heavy trailers are what generally grab the general audiences.
I'm not looking for the BVS trailer.
Oh God.
Like, I don't know.
It's the worst when there's a trailer and you're like, oh, this was the whole movie in 3 minutes.
Right. And like, it just, like, that's one of my favorite things about how Chris Nolan puts together trailers. It's kind of like the way that it's cut together almost feels like he's in the editing bay with him. Like,
yeah,
like, hey, like, let's leave this out. Let's put this in. Let's cut the music like this. Let's, you know, it's about bringing in the audience. It's about making you want to go see it. It's about like, oh my god, like that's a great trailer. Like, I am so down for this fucking movie.
Yeah, that's the thing. This trailer doesn't feel like it's a Matt Reeves trailer.
I agree 100% with Kyle. I just don't like how this trailer was edited together.
Yeah,
it was like just cut after cut after cut after cut. And like, what is this trailer trying to do? How are they trying to sell me into going other than Colin Farrell is back as Penguin?
Yeah, that is the sell.
Like what, like from the producers of the Batman. You know what I'm saying? Like, or whatever I only watched it once because like, it looks like it's gonna be great. Like, obviously it's gonna be good. Matt Reeves' fingerprints are all over it, but it's just like it's just the same kind of issue that I've been having with the marketing of DC films and DC characters.
Their marketing has been so awful for the past couple years.
Trailer, like that second or third one where it's that long, it's like they're kind of like focused in on like that cafe and it's dark and it's rainy, and then all of a sudden you hear that vroom, vroom, and you see the police kind of converge on the cafe. And then they go and they arrest the Riddler, and they pan up over the coffee or the cappuccino, and it's got the question mark, and then it like jumps in. There's all that music that's playing. It's like, oh my God, this movie looks amazing. I can't wait to see this. Like,
yeah,
that's what I needed from this. I needed to be reminded why I wanted to go see the Batman. I needed to be reminded why I want to continue on the journey of Oswald Cobblepot. But like, I'm gonna see it, but it just kind of like, it's like, why can't we go back to where we were getting great trailers? Batman Begins, like that Batman Begins teaser trailer is so good. Like, it's literally, they don't even really show Batman other than like stills at the very end. It's literally a story about Bruce Wayne and his journey. And then you get to the second teaser where he's training. And then you get into the third one where it's like, all right, here is like the movie. We want you to come see it, but we're not going to tell you anything about the movie. Like, you have no idea what the plot is. I mean, The Dark Knight.
It's like, I hope you're already invested into the world.
But like The Dark Knight, like, it's kind of like a continuation. It has the, you know, like, maybe one of these days we need to break down like those old trailers. That'd be so much fun. I mean, I would.
That sounds like fun.
Like, I would love to just do like the Batman Begins teaser and like all the trailers for Batman Begins in another episode for like The Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises, Man of Steel. Like, that'd be a ton of fun. So Logan,
there you go. Something to do, put on our bucket list.
Like the Spider-Man 2 teaser. I'm not saying that I am saying it's a bad trailer, but I'm not saying it's a bad trailer because it gives us the whole television series or the whole, you know, that whole first season or whatever it is. It just does. It's just not cut in a way that kind of like, oh, you know, like, this is really well done. So I'm just like beating a dead horse at this point. Right.
Potentially.
So just do better trailers.
Do better, Warner Brothers.
It just is like we used to get like the best fucking trailers. Like, even the Green Lantern trailer was pretty darn good.
Yeah. Yeah. But for the most part, I've not really liked a lot of the trailers since like BVS. I mean,
the Blitz trailer for Suicide Squad was pretty good. But that, like I said, it was like the music. It was like, oh my God, Will Smith's in this movie.
You know what's funny? Those trailers for the Suicide Squad were so good that they realized, wait, we might have oversold this movie. Let's not invest too much into the trailers nowadays. We don't want to oversell our films to people now.
Those trailers were really good. We get so many listens to those trailers, like so many downloads when we did those trailer breakdowns. So Penguin trailer, I'd give it a C+ if I were to grade it.
I'm over there in the C. Still super excited to watch the series, but the trailer didn't really do much for me.
Right. Let's talk about Alan Ritchson wanting to be Batman.
Go for it.
I really don't have much to say. Other than I don't see it happening.
I'm really not familiar with his body of work, so I don't know how I feel about this.
He's super ginormous.
Okay.
He looks like he should be Shazam. Like, he looks like the what's his name? Not Jim Lee. What's the other one? The Alex Ross version of Shazam. That's how I describe his look. I'm not getting Batman out of it. And like, I'm not saying that he couldn't do it if he was cast, but like, of all the actors that are out there right now, like, Jake Gyllenhaal's there. Why not Jake Gyllenhaal? Jake Gyllenhaal was the number two guy that almost was cast in
Batman. We do need more Jake Gyllenhaal.
Like, have you seen the Roadhouse movie where he's just jacked as fuck?
No, I wasn't interested in seeing it.
Oh, it's pretty good. Like, it's just kind of like a fun movie. So he's really good in it. Conor McGregor's not good at all.
What? I'm shocked.
But like he's like campaigning to be Bruce Wayne. Like he literally said yesterday, I really want to be Bruce Wayne. Who doesn't? Who doesn't want
to be, who doesn't?
Who doesn't want to be a play a billionaire like who gets to beat up, you know, criminals in Gotham City? I just don't know. Like I don't see him being cast. I don't see him as Batman or Bruce Wayne. Like I don't think he would make a good of either. You know, like some people, like he'd be really good Batman, but his Bruce Wayne would be kind of left to something to be desired. Or he'd make a really good Bruce Wayne. I don't think he'd make a really good Batman. Don't see it. I don't see either. Not saying they couldn't pull it off, but like, I don't know. Like, I kind of at this point, like, I kind of want them to go Jake Gyllenhaal. I kind of want them. I think he'd be really good. I know everyone wants Jensen Ackles. I mean, he'd be solid, but like, we're kind of getting up there in age, right? It's kind of like,
yeah, we're getting to a point where like you need to go younger for your Batman. Maybe even someone that's like not.
Like, super like, well known. I'm kind of where I want them to be with David Corenswet, right? Someone who's been an actor for a little bit. He hasn't really like had like a huge breakout role, you know, but he's still a really good actor. He looks the part, blah, 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 blah. Like, I kind of want them to find another Christian Bale. Like, someone who is in like a really good movie, like American Psycho, that you can see him playing, you know, Bruce Wayne. I'm not saying that Alan Ritson can't do it. And at this point, I think Jensen Ackles and Jake Gyllenhaal are getting too old. Aren't they both in their mid-40s?
It's somewhere around there, yeah.
Right. And like my thing is like, I kind of want, I'm not looking for like year one Batman, because obviously that's not where they're going with it. But at the same token, I kind of want him like in his prime, where we haven't gotten there yet, right? Like,
surprisingly, no.
Like of all the Batman movies that they've done, like we've never really, and like maybe the Val Kilmer has like the closest to the, you know, the prime of his career, right? Like Batman Begins, like obviously that's the origin of Batman. And then they kind of we're getting there in the Dark Knight, and then they jump 8 years after that.
Yeah, I'd say the close. Dark Knight's still kind of early into his career, so they can't really say that. Yeah, I think Batman Forever might be the closest.
Where you're kind of like, he's to the point where he's adding to his family.
Yeah. Yeah, because all the Affleck stuff is like late in his career.
Right.
Obviously, Dark Knight Rises is like end of his career as well.
Weird.
Yeah, the Dark Knight Rises timeline is so weird. It's like he's technically only Batman for like 2 years, but there's like a huge gap between the later part and the middle part.
It's interesting, right? I want to say like Michael Keaton, but like Michael Keaton's not even at the prime of his career. I mean, maybe Batman Returns, but really not even that, because you don't know like what happened in between Batman and Batman Returns. You know, like Batman Forever might be because of Batman Forever, they're talking about, you know, this is the third time, this is like the second time, like the, you know, like they're kind of going over like the history of like, you know, the dates of Two-Face and like, you know, like he's already been established as, you know, Two-Face and like he's trying to bring him down again. And, you know, so I don't know, like I want, like, and I don't know if they're going and the, when the, with them doing Brave and the Bold, I honestly, what I would like to see if James Gunn could, I know he wants to do Brave and the Bold. But I really like that first film for him to have Batman just in his prime fighting a bunch of rogues down. And then Robin gets brought, like Dick Grayson, like you could even have Dick Grayson like in there as like Nightwing, I guess. But like he's in Bloodhaven. But I don't know, like that's like, to me, it's just kind of like, why are we
give us something
getting like a pure Batman in his prime? Like not even like even the Batman, like it's year two. Like we're not getting him in his prime either. We're not, you know. It's just weird to me. Like we're still struggling to figure out a way to get him to where this is like the seventh or eighth time he's punched the Joker into Arkham Asylum. You know.
Well, what if we did it again?
So, like, what are your thoughts on Alan Ritchson trying to, like, lobby for the role of Batman?
I mean, sure, there's no harm in him trying, but the ultimate decision is going to come down to who's ever making the movie. So, you know, it's up to them. If, you know, if he could talk his way into it, then sure, but I don't know. I don't really know enough about him to speak to his skills as an actor.
Right. I'm not saying he can't do it, but I kind of want someone like early 30s.
Yeah.
Like Superman's going to be young in his career.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm always going to advocate for younger talent, even if they're not super experienced. I'd like seeing them being given the chance.
I'm going to look to see how old Jake Gyllenhaal is. Jake Gyllenhaal. He is 43. Like, he's probably too late for that as well.
Yeah, I'd say if you're in your 40s, you're pushing it too late.
Jensen Ackles is 46. So by the time that Batman movie is, like, both of them will be very close to 50 years old. Right?
Yeah. Because we're still a few years away from that, so.
Let me see how old young Richardson is, or Richson, or however you say his last name, Alan. He's 41.
He's already too old then.
So, I don't know, like, he looks, I'm not saying he looks bad, he just, I don't know, like, I have a hard time seeing him with a cape and cowl on. He's almost too big for the role, if that makes sense.
Maybe.
Supergirl, I mean, talk, or do you
want to
continue on?
Let's move on to Supergirl. That's definitely a more interesting topic, if I had to say.
So Supergirl, they found their director, which is surprising. Surprised myself and Kyle when we were like, oh, Supergirl already has a director. Greg Gillespie, the director behind I, Tonya, and the Cruella movie, and a few other films as well, is going to be directing Supergirl. Now, there was some conversation online. I saw a few little pushback there where some fans were like, well, it should be a woman. It's Supergirl. Why is it, you know, Supergirl, you know, woman of tomorrow? Like, why is a female director not going to be directing? You got Greta Gerwig. You got Kathryn Bigelow. You got, you know, all these up-and-coming great female directors. You know, why not, I wouldn't say cast that role as for director, but why not hire a female for this, you know, for this film? And honestly, like, I feel like we're kind of like getting back to a point of just finding the best person for the role. The best person. If it's a woman, great. If it's a man, great. Like, the idea that because it's a woman, like a female-led film, that
I personally do not like this idea that, oh, well, if the main character is a woman, then you have to have a woman director.
Right.
It's like, since when is that a thing? I've never heard of, like, say you're an author, you have to be a woman to write a female main character. You have to be a man to write a man. It's like, no, just people can be more nuanced than what their gender is. Like,
I agree 100% with you. Like, if Greta Gerwig was, you know, in talks to direct Supergirl, and she was the best person for the job, they interviewed 10 directors, and she had the best take. She wants to do it like this. She wants to shoot it like this. This, you know, she wants it to be this. Like, she has this whole idea. Her pitch is really strong. She has a visual flair for it. She has a passion for it. And she's the best person for the job. I am 100% behind it, whether or not. Like, that's saying, like, if Greta Gerwig was the best person to direct Batman Brave and the Bold, out of all the directors that are out there, that her take was the best, and she was able to get behind the directorship and make an amazing Batman film or Superman film.
Yep.
Or Green Lantern. It's, for me, it's about who is the best person for this job. Not based on gender, not based on anything, but your qualifications. Was your take what James Gunn was looking for? That's where I'm at. Well, you know, like, Zach, they said, hey, we want Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder came with a pitch for Supergirl. I'd be like, all right, that'll be interesting.
Like, well, you know, if James liked what he saw, then sure.
You know, like, that's my thing. Like I really thought what Patty Jenkins brought to the first Wonder Woman, like, she was the best person for that film. Now, was she the best person for Wonder Woman 84? I don't know. Was there someone else that could have? Was there someone else in that circle that could have done a better job than her? Possibly.
Yeah.
So, like, it just, like, what's interesting about this is he comes from a background of directing women, like, women-led films, Cruella, I, Tonya, like, wasn't Margot Robbie, didn't she win in a bunch of awards for that film?
I'm pretty sure it was nominated. I don't actually know if it took any.
I've never seen that.
It was definitely nominated, though.
I've never seen any of his films, so I can't tell you one way or the other that he's a phenomenal director or, you know. But it was interesting. Like, he has this pedigree of having this very female-led cast in his films, and so, like, you know, it's the same idea with when they hired Christopher Columbus, not the explorer, but the filmmaker, when he did Harry Potter. Like, he came from a background of Home Alone. Like, what's it? Like, this is a child, a kids-led film. He has the background knowledge. He's done it before. He's been successful. He knows how to pull out good performances from children with very complex. I wouldn't even say, like, Home Alone's, like, the end of it's complex. You know, it's pretty slapstick. But there are moments in the film where you have to really get a good performance out of, you know, the character of Kevin McAllister when he sees his mother for the first time in both films. Like, he was able to pull out a really good performance from Macaulay Culkin.
Yep.
And Macaulay Culkin was, what, 8, 9, or 10 when those movies came out?
Like, some down there, for sure.
And he was able to do the same thing in regards to Harry Potter. Same type of thing. The first two films. He was able to cast a wide net of character actors and actors who, you know, were child. And he really went through the process and found the right people. And he was the right person for the job because he had a take. He had passion for it. He wanted, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, like, that, the same could be said for this Greg Gillespie. My thing is, I guess, and I think we were talking about this before, but I didn't know that they were that far ahead with the Supergirl script. And James said, like, if this is all about story-based. If we find the right story and the best story, we're going to green light those films. And that's interesting because I thought they were trying to establish a foundation, right?
Yeah.
Are they already making the same mistakes of jumping ahead?
Well, again, it kind of goes back to what James was saying. Like, if he really liked the story, it's like, yo, okay, we're going to green light this. We're going to push forward with it. And then sure. I don't know. Do they have a script? Did he see a script? So sure, let's go for it. And as long as he's not like hinging all future films off of this on a whim, you know, I think we'll be fine.
Right. And it's interesting because if you would have told me the next film that's going to be in production after Superman was Supergirl, I'm like, really? Like, I thought it'd be like Brave and the Bold or Swamp Thing or, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, Swamp Thing is probably going to be the last one. What were the other films that were like he was trying to get off the ground?
I was going to say Green Lantern, but that's going to be a show, right? It was going to be a Green Lantern show.
Yeah, Lanterns is going to be a show.
What was that one team up movie? The kind of like the anti-heroes?
Oh, The Authority.
The Authority?
And like, yeah, like I would have thought The Authority would have been next, to be honest.
Because there were like rumors that The Authority was going to be in Superman, right? Or maybe it's confirmed. I don't know, but
that from The Authority that are going to be in Superman.
Yeah, so like that they're already being set up. They're, you know, makes sense to spin them off to a movie. But I think there's a potential we could already get some Supergirl set up in the movie. So it's not like complete out of left field or anything. I think it can fit.
We're on the same page as like. So here are the TV shows: Creature Commandos,
Water,
and then Lanterns, Paradise Lost, and then make sure that I Booster Gold.
Ooh.
So those are the TV shows, and then you have for the films: you have Superman, you have The Authority, you have Brave and the Bold, and then you have Supergirl and Swamp Thing. I just assumed that The Authority would have been the next film.
Yeah, out of those, that one seems the most natural, but because I'm not opposed to this.
Because The Authority were showing up in Superman.
Yeah.
Now Supergirl showing up in Superman as well, but I just thought I didn't think it was going to be like the Kryptonians back to back, if that makes sense.
Like, it would have been nice to get a little bit of a different flavor as the next film, but we'll see. A lot of it's going to be dependent on what this movie actually is, right. Superman, that is.
And there is one other thing, since we're going to be talking about Superman, about the possibility of the main villain or one of the villains in the, I wouldn't say the main villain, main villain's Lex Luthor. And I don't know if you want to talk about this now, but there's a rumor going around that Bizarro or Ultraman are going to be another villain in Superman. So do you want to continue on the Supergirl talk, or do you want to talk about the idea of Ultraman or Bizarro as another villain in Superman?
Whatever you feel like going into. Because... they're both interesting. They're all interesting.
Like I'm here for Gillespie directing. It's like, as long as he has a really good script, he has a passion for the character, he wants to do the best job that he can, because there's a lot of writing on Superman. There's a lot writing on Creature Commandos and Lanterns and the Waller television series and Peacemaker season 2.
Yeah.
Like, I want good DC films. I want them to be interconnected. I want them to be really, really, really well made. I want, you know, like, I want to have my Captain America Winter Soldier film in the DC universe. I want to have my Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. And, you know, I want those things to happen in DC. I want DC to be not thought of as a joke anymore, like the Snyder Cut or Justice League or, you know, like Birds of Prey. Like, I'm not saying that Zack Snyder's Justice League is a joke, but there's a lot of controversy that surrounded it. There's a lot of press.
The reputation is taking quite a hit.
Yeah. Right. So it's getting back to just having great films that people want to go see. So, like, I want this film to be amazing. I want this take to be really well received. I want people to look at the DC set of characters the same way that the fans of the Marvel Cinematic Universe look at those set of characters. Because it came to a fever pitch with Avengers Infinity War and then Endgame. And obviously there's been some conversation about them not being as successful as late. And there's a conversation and an argument to be had in regards to those things. However, here's an opportunity for DC to really do something special with Superman and Supergirl and their characters coming up. So I'm really excited for Supergirl. Like, if this is, like, James Gunn has not come out and confirmed that Gillespie is directing, which is kind of weird because this is like 2 days old, I think, a day or two old on this news. So I'm just kind of like wait and see at this point. Like, I obviously, like, many of the trades are calling, you know, but usually by now he'd say, oh yeah, this is confirmed. Like, he, like, we met with him. He wanted to meet with us. He was very passionate about this character. We are on the same page, you know, like we're on the same page with what we want for this character. And like, he met with Millie Alcock or whatever her name is. And like, they really got on and they're excited to work together and blah, 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 blah. Like, everything's peachy paradise, you know, utopia, you know, like, I'm farting rainbows out of my ass. So, but what, let's talk about this rumor that's going around. And I don't know if you've seen this rumor or heard this rumor, Kyle, but the rumor going around is one of the other main villains of Superman. It's weird not to say Superman Legacy.
I've had to hold my tongue a couple times.
Like, I actually kind of prefer it to be Superman Legacy. But the idea of Ultraman and or Bizarro being another main character that, you know, basically Lex Luthor clones a, you know, version of Superman, and it's, you know, Ultraman or Bizarro. What are your thoughts on that? I'm not the biggest fan of either of those characters, to be honest.
I'm a little mixed because I, in general, I do think Ultraman, Bizarro are fine characters and would like to see him at some point. But to be honest, the trope of we're going to have the hero fight like an evil version of themselves is so overdone. It can be done well, but I don't know. I that would not have been my first choice. I think starting off with just like, I love, even if it's just a Lex Luthor, like an Lex Luthor in a suit type of thing would have been fine. Maybe some Brainiacs shenanigans.
This has kind of already been a thing, right? Where you have like the DNA of Superman taken and it created Doomsday.
Yeah.
Or, you know, at the main villain of Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, was like, wasn't that a clone? I haven't seen that movie since I was a super small.
It's been a long time since I saw it, but I do think that guy was made with Superman's like DNA or something.
Kind of like, why have Lex Luthor do that again? Like, he finds someone, like, why is he not the one that's going off in a mech suit? Why is he not having Metallo? Like, you could, like, Brainiac. Like, those are the villains I want to see as a Superman fan. Like, I want to see Metallo. I want to see Brainiac. I want to see Mr. Mitzelplix. Or, you know, like, if we're going to go weird and, you know, strange with the character of Superman, I don't know if the first movie you come out with Bizarro or Ultraman. Like, I don't think that's the right approach to that. And
I was like, there's already so much going on in this movie. I don't know if there's going to be enough room to properly do these characters.
Right. And like I really do have high hopes for James Gunn. Like, if anyone can do an ensemble cast like this, it's him. But I'm just like, when I heard that it was going to be Ultraman or Bizarro, I'm just like, ugh, why can't it be these other characters? Why is it always going back to that trope of Lex Luthor wants to kill Superman, so the way he's going to kill Superman is going to steal his blood and create a alternate version of the character to bring him down once and for all? Like, Lex Luthor has literally had a kryptonite mech suit, and he fought Superman. He's had Metallo. You know, like, the idea of, like, a cyborg. Like, if they were going to do, like, cyborg Superman or Eradicator or something like that, that'd be interesting. But, like, to me, Bizarro, like, it just, like, the idea of Superman being... To me, Bizarro is very tongue-in-cheek. It's very campy.
Yeah.
And, like, I know people that have seen Smallville said that, you know, that version's really good. But, like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's kind of like, I just want these movies to be the best that they can be. And, like, when I heard that it was going to be one or the other, like, Ultraman or Super or Bizarro, I was kind of like, this again.
Like, it's a little uphill battle.
Like, my problem with Doomsday is, like, we aren't there yet for the death of Superman. Like, that was my big issue with BVS is, like, Superman just began. Like, he just was established, and we're already using the idea that he can be taken out by an alien once and for all, and he's dead. You know, like, two movies in. It's kind of like, why? Like, you build towards Doomsday. You build towards, you know, Darkseid. You know... And you can even argue and say you build to Brainiac, even though I think, like, Brainiac, like, James Gunn was going to really be able to explore a character that can really do something crazy with Superman. It'd be Brainiac. Or even Metallo. I don't know. Like, I just – the idea of – like, Bizarro, like, from the animated series and from the comics I've read, kind of reminds me of Solomon Grundy. You know,
I don't think you're far off the mark there. That it's kind of accurate.
So, like, it's kind of like, all right, like, he's a sympathetic, like, in the animated series, like, he comes off as very sympathetic. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just kind of like, it just thoughts. Come on, Kyle, share your thoughts.
I mean, yeah, Superman's Rogues Gallery, it's interesting because there is a lot you can pick from, a lot of good ones, and we haven't really explored a lot of that in live action here.
I mean, like, I'll say, like, a flat General Zod's not going to be, like,
yeah, like, I'm okay with not doing General Zod again. You know, I get it. If they don't want to do Lex Luthor as the main big bad, that's fine because he's already done it a couple times. But out of all the options, man, like, these rumored ones are they're just not the ones I would have gone for first. Because there's just so many options. And I like the Metallo possibility because you can still get Superman fighting like a strong dude, but it's not like a literal clone of himself, you know? But as I've said before, I have faith in James Gunn. I know he can pull this off. And while it's not the choice I'd made, I will respect his decision to do what he's doing. If this is what they end up going for.
Cool. That would have been interesting. Parasite could have been cool. Yep. I'm trying to think who else off the top of my head. Lobo, Vandal Savage. I mean, I don't know. There's just a lot of, like, Brainiac is there. He's not been used.
Surprisingly. It's like, you know, you know what's wild to me is like, okay, with Brainiac being Brainiac, it's like the Superman villain, right?
Right.
It's like having gotten several Batman movies, but no one's used the Joker.
Right.
Granted, Brainiac's a little harder to pull off than the Joker, because, you know, he's like an actual like global threat, but still, it's all like, it's his, it's the villain, like his, maybe besides Lex Luthor, it's like the other big villain.
And like with AI coming a thing, like you could do a whole like AI type of thing with Brainiac. Right,
have Brainiac be like a rogue AI like, type thing.
I mean,
it could like, work.
The comics are billions of people in comics. Like he is a very interesting character. Like it's Brainiac. Like just the idea of this, like how zany they could go with Brainiac's look, like how menacing he could be. So, and like they almost did it with Tim Burton. Like Tim Burton's Brainiac, Tim Burton almost had Brainiac, and you know his Superman and Superman looks. You mean the dude has got Brainiac's got superhuman strength. He's one of the smartest in the DC universe. Such an interesting character. I don't know, like it's just like it's there for the picking. Why not? I mean, yeah. And why kids not? Know of him from games and they read the comics and you know the animated series, and it's just kind of like, what are we doing here?
What are we doing? So can somebody explain the thing?
I'm glad Zack Snyder didn't get a chance, didn't do Brainiac, to be honest. Like like I'm glad he's still available, like the unused, you know, but like it just like I'm right now I'm looking at Comic Vine. It's kind of like giving me like the top 25 like greatest Superman villains. Ultraman's number 17, number one Lex Luthor, number two Darkseid, number three is Brainiac, number four General Zod. Bizarro's number five, even though like so Doomsday six, like I like to me Bizarro is in the top 10, but
still like having somebody ranked that high not make an appearance yet feels kind of wrong.
I don't know. Anything else we need to talk about, Kyle?
Is there any other new things that we haven't touched on? It's been a minute since we've recorded that.
I'm pretty excited for him. Like I feel like he's gonna do a pretty good job as long as he actually does it. And like what's interesting, there's been no movement on Brave and the Bold. I mean, the Batman's being pushed back. Did we talk about that in one of the last episodes? Batman 2 is being pushed back for a whole year. And like, what is that going to
be? I don't remember if we talked about that or not, but yeah, that's wild.
So, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion of the people or not, but I'm still holding to my gut feeling that they're gonna get a new director for it.
For Brave and the Bold?
Brave and the Bold.
Yeah, I hope so. To me, like, why is he still attached?
I don't know.
So, I'm not sure either. But 112 is donezo.
It's in the books.
So make all that you can to support this podcast by following us, giving us a like on Facebook, following us on X, formerly known as Twitter, and then going and liking our posts, listening to our podcast. Do all that you can to support us by retweeting or reposting and sharing our stuff. So that is what we need from you. Lot of positive stuff over the last couple episodes. Listeners are coming back. So very excited to see our podcast getting back out there with, you know, solid downloads and everything. So glad some news is coming out that we can talk about some things.
It's like, thank goodness it has been dry out here.
I'm just looking forward to a first trailer, you know, a first like shot of Superman in the suit, like, you know, like Lois Lane, finally, an official still Lex Luthor. So yeah, episode 112 is in the can. Thank you so much for listening, and make sure that you do all that you can to support this podcast.